I have the habit of collecting nuts and acorns and pine cones. So on a hike, my pockets will be bulging usually by the time I get home. They're from trees that I want growing on our woodlot. Then I spread them about in random but optimistic ways. It's my attempt to add greater tree diversity to our woodlot. I also transplant small saplings from one place to another where I think they might do better. Allison, my wife, and our children often roll their eyes and question my actions. But after the last 35 years on our woodlot, they've come to accept that I have had some successes. Now, speaking of acorns and pine cones, I've noticed, and I bet some of you have as well, that some years there aren't many nuts or pine cones around on the ground. On other years, like this one, they seem super abundant. I knew that some trees, like red oaks, only produce seeds every 2 years, while the white oaks produce seeds every year. But why is it, I wondered, that some years all of the trees produce an unusual abundance of acorns and pine cones and other seeds? Well, I was reading a book by Robin Kimmerer, Braiding Sweetgrass, and then I learned from her. She's a Native American wise woman as well as an educated, academically trained botanist. From her, I learned that trees seem to agree on the years of synchronous production of abundant seeds. Such a year is called a mast year. This is an abundant or mast year, especially in down east Maine where I'm living. The trees have been heavy with acorns and pine cones. Sometimes we've got a metal roof on our woodshed, and when the pine cones start dropping on it, it sounds like there's somebody attacking us with stones or something. Mast is actually the term botanists use for all sorts of nuts and seeds and fruits of trees and shrubs that are eaten by animals, we humans included. Also plentiful during mast year have been the soft mast berries or fruits. The abundance of both the soft and the hard mast fruit has been and continues to provide an abundance of food for the wildlife. There'll be a supply left over this winter to support a larger than normal number of forest animals. But also many of those seeds left over will sprout and grow into new trees and bushes. I find it utterly fascinating that the trees do this in concert with one another. There's some sort of communication from tree to tree, from forest to forest. It isn't that one tree fruits in abundance one year and another one fruits in abundance the next year. Fruits, they seem to coordinate. Nor is it only one grove of trees that fruit in abundance while others don't. Rather, they all do it together. This is true for the trees in every grove throughout the state or region. Talk about the power of unity. The trees of the forest flourish or famine in surprising mutuality. Likewise, the animals, the squirrels, who depend on the seeds of the forest increase and survive in large numbers during mast years, even as they decrease in numbers on off years, as do their predators. As Kimmerer writes in her book, you can imagine the trees whispering to each other when the squirrel population is low. There are just a few squirrels. Wouldn't this be a good time to make some fruit or some nuts? All across the landscape, she writes, out come the pecan flowers, poised to become a bumper crop again. Together, the trees survive and thrive. It's fascinating how mutuality happens in nature. Houston Smith told a story about a young Onondagan man, Orrin Lyons. He was from the reservation, and he was the first one to go off to college. When he returned to his reservation for his first vacation, his uncle proposed a fishing trip on the lake. Once he had his nephew in the middle of the lake, right where he wanted him, He began to interrogate him. "Well, Oren," he said, "you've been to college. You must be pretty smart now, from all they've been teaching you. Let me ask you a question. Who are you?" Now, taken aback by the question, Oren fumbled for an answer. "What do you mean, Uncle? Who am I? Why, I'm your nephew." His uncle rejected his answer and repeated his question successively over and over. The nephew ventured that he was Oren Lyons, an Onondagan, a human being, a man, a young man. All to no avail. His uncle kept asking him that question until Oren was reduced to silence, and he asked to be informed as to who he was. His uncle said, "Do you see that bluff over there, Oren? You are that bluff. Do you see that great pine over there, Oren? You are that great pine. And this water that supports our boat, Oren, you are that water." Now, we Unitarian Universalists affirm and promote an abiding respect for this interdependent web of which we are a part. All of existence of which we are a part, the trees, the bushes, the birds, and the animals, they also live on this good earth that sustains us all. Greg Pontier will sing a song that I requested called "All Are Related" a little bit later in the service. Sherry Kling writes, "There is a kinship within this world where we depend on another, on one another. Not only we humans, but all animals and plants, and also the rocks and the sand and the soil. Rich with minerals, nutrients, and decaying life, moistened by water and blown about by the winds. There is a kinship that exists here in a deep and abiding harmony. Like in the story for all ages, we are formed and informed by each other. We are helped and held up by each other. We are co-creating agents, interrelated and actively forming and reforming our mutual world." At this service, focus this month on abundance, it's important to remember that the word abound, or abundance, comes from the Middle English, borrowed from Latin, meaning to overflow, to rise up in waves that surge or flood. This past year, in many parts of our world, we have known a startling abundance of water and waves, surging forth in ways that have been very destructive. In Sherry Kling's words, one of her verses says, "Fiery brilliance, cooling gas, condensing gravity, atoms forming, stars and carbon fuel diversity, earth with sky and oceans, molecules then multiply, stardust is the matter of the cosmos and all of life." Harmony does exist in our natural world. But there are also times when there is disharmony and downright chaos and destruction from, of all things, abundance. There are internal rhythms within the natural world of which we are a part, both boom and bust, life-giving times and life-destroying times. There are massed years, and there are years when seeds are less plentiful. There are seasons when the natural world is full of flowers, full of seeds, full of fruitful abundance. And there are seasons when major storms like Irma, Harvey, and Maria, and others cause devastating damage, some of the most costliest ever recorded. So in addition to the beauty and the fruitful abundance, the natural world also shakes our foundations with earthquakes and threatens our forests and homes with fires. It's possible, but it's also challenging to discover grace within chaos and holiness within the power of storms that really literally shake the foundations of our lives. The natural world within which we live is always in a process of becoming something new. Which brings us back to the things that matter most in life. The life-giving essence of the air we breathe, the essential refreshment of the clean, pure water we need to drink to stay alive, the beauty of trees with the acorns and the pine cones, which I gather during my walks in the woods. Such small things can be pleasing because they are a continuation of life. All life depends on the creation of the stones and the soils, formed billions of years ago in a creation process called the Big Bang. The condensing of gravity with molecules of stardust forming the entire cosmos. All things have value. As Wendell Berry wrote, the sky is gray. It begins in mist, almost at the ground, and rises forever. The trees rise in silence, almost. Natural, almost natural, but not quite. Almost eternal, but not quite. As we pause in gratitude this Thanksgiving season, we can ask ourselves the question, what more did I think I wanted? What more did I think I wanted? In scripture, in song, in poetry, people envision that which is holy, creating and refreshing all that exists and sustaining this world. From the lowliest stone to the most complex and complicated forms of life, the continuing message in every atom, every seed, every plant and animal is that all things have value. Here along the Delaware River, we can still see some of the last leaves falling from those branches, from their own weight, and floating down to make and enrich the soil. Ask yourselves, what more did I think I wanted? The natural abundance all about us has been here for countless eons. What more did I think I wanted? I invite you to relax into a following guided meditation. Stretch out your legs, let your arms fall gently along you. Take a deep breath through your nose. Hold it just for a moment and then exhale. Relax your jaw and continue the deep breathing in and out through your nose. Let your mind become aware of your feet. Feel a soft golden glow begin to enter your feet. Let it fill your feet with warmth and relaxation. Let your feet relax naturally. Just let them go. Now feel that soft golden light begin to move up into your ankles. Feel your ankles become warm and relaxed. Just let go. And now feel that soft golden glow begin to move up into your calves and shins. And feel the soft golden light move into your knees. Let the warmth fill your knees. Let your kneecaps relax. Just let them go. Feel the warmth begin to move up into your thighs. Let the big muscles in your thighs relax. Feel your thighs just sink into the beautiful chair beneath you. Let them go. Let the warm golden light move into your hip joints, your buttocks. Let those muscles relax. And now, let that golden light fill your abdomen. Feel the warmth from the ball of light as it moves up to your spine. Feel it as it bathes each and every of your vertebrae. With each breath you take, let your lungs be filled with that warm golden light. And now feel that warm golden light travel and fill each finger in the palms of your hands. Let it move into your wrists and your forearms. Feel those muscles expand with the light. Let your elbows relax. Let the light move into your upper arms and shoulders. Let your shoulder blades relax. Let the light enter your neck. Feel your neck and throat begin to relax. Swallow gently and feel your throat open. Separate your lips slightly and then close them. Let your tongue drop into a relaxed position. Feel the warm golden light as it fills your entire head and face. Even let your ears relax. Let your eyes relax. Allow that little space between your eyebrows to relax. Let your forehead relax. Let the top of your head relax and let go. And now that you're completely relaxed, I invite you to join me on a journey. Imagine that you're standing on a path at the edge of a small forest. The bright sun warms your back as you face the opening in the trees. A cool breeze from the forest is inviting you to enter. The path is clear and broad. It's easy to follow. And so you step into the forest. All around you, you can hear birds calling to one another. Their sounds are gentle and sweet. It is as if they are encouraging you to take a few more steps into their home. And so you do. The peace in the forest is total. You're aware of small animals all around you. You see rabbits and squirrels romping and playing. You can hear the sounds of more birds hidden in the dense canopy of the trees. As you walk on, you begin to hear the sound of running water. You can tell that the water is gentle and you walk in the direction of the sound. As you walk, you can feel the autumn leaves under your feet and the small branches and roots on the ground. It feels good to have your feet touching Mother Earth. And you let the gentle voice of the water call you on. Shortly in front of you opens a little clearing in the forest, and in the middle of the clearing is a small pool. The pool is being fed from a stream cascading down a small rocky slope. As the pool is filled to overflowing, the water leaves the pool on the other side and continues its journey back into the forest. Here in the clearing, there are some rocks where you can sit. The rocks are warm from the sun as its rays make their way down from the opening in the treetops. You walk to the largest of the rocks and take a seat on it. It is as if the rock were just made for you to sit on. It cradles your body and holds you steady. And you just sit here for a few minutes in silence, listening to the sounds of the forest and the water all around you. Your eyes are closed, your heart is full of joy. In a few moments, you begin to sense the gentle presence of another being in front of you. You open your eyes, and standing about 6 feet from you is a beautiful doe, her brown eyes resting on you. She's completely at ease, and so are you. For some minutes, you sit enthralled by this gentle creature just looking at you, as if she loves you. She is calm and assured in your presence that even her ears are still. And you are so in awe of her presence that your gaze cannot leave hers. It seems that she has brought a message for you. And across the space between the two of you, she is sending you that message. Somehow, you become aware of the message. You're ready to receive it from her. You open your heart and receive her message. Your heart is filled to overflowing with the love you are feeling in her message. She stands there for a few moments. Then she gently closes her eyes, opens them again for one last look at you, turns around, and slowly walks back into the forest. You sit for a moment, integrating into your being the message she brought you. And then you rise from your spot on the rock, move gently back onto the path, and walk slowly and calmly back to the edge of the forest where you first stepped onto the path. With each step you take, you find yourself coming back into your consciousness, your awareness of the room around you. You begin to notice your surroundings. You feel the floor under your feet, the chair under your body. You slowly move your hands and feet. And now you've returned to complete consciousness. Your message from the forest has been integrated into your being, and you'll take that message with you back into your daily life. And so it is. Blessed be.